Others in an all-night candlelight vigil of grief and hope. We'll be in Washington Square Park in Greenwich Village from 7 p.m. Tuesday, September 10th to 8:45 a.m. September 11th. Join us. For more information, call the War Resisters League, 212-228-0450. That's 212-228-0450. Our grief is not a cry for war.
We can chase down all our enemies.
Langston Hughes' Little Ham is coming to town. Last Christmas, when this musical treat played for a limited engagement, the critics insisted that it be returned for an open engagement, calling it delightful and charming, and the Village Voice cheered that Little Ham is a jewel, the best-sung show in town, capable of exceeding your expectations of delight. And the first performance at the John Houseman Theater on Wednesday, September 11th, will be just for us, the WBAI audience. It's $25 a ticket, and we can usher in Langston Hughes' Little Ham together. Call us at 212-255-4834 and get aboard to see Langston Hughes' Little Ham. Curtain is 8 p.m., and the John Houseman Theater is at 450 West 42nd Street. All proceeds that night go to WBAI. The phone number again, 255-4834. That's Little Ham on September 11th.
Hello, welcome to the Pacifica Bylaws discussion. This 2 hours weekly that is this dedicated to a discussion of the new and in progress bylaws that participating listeners and staff, producers, interim board members, etc., have been working on for this last several months, and we are here to discuss. At this moment, where we are in the development of the bylaws, which is actually quite far along, let me say before anything that I'm not hearing a thing on my headphones, and that we'll be joined by Dave Fertig here in the studio, who is representing the Pacifica National Board, the Interim National Board, as well as KPFK, the Los Angeles station, and we'll be joined also by Carol Spooner, from KPFA, Secretary of the Interim National Board and the instigator of the listener lawsuit, around which so much of this has devolved, and also by Rob Robinson, also a member of the National Board and representing the station in Washington, KPFW. Now, all of these three have contributed drafts of the bylaws. There is yet a new one which has arrived almost in the last 48 hours from the Houston station, KPFT, and we'll be discussing that as well. I mean, it seems to be some sort of a composite of all of the drafts of the bylaws. So we'll be discussing both the differences in these bylaws and the ways that the draftees hope to gain consensus, and also some of the controversial aspects of the different drafts. Let me say that the meeting, there is a bylaws meeting, and there are regular bylaws meetings held on Tuesday nights at 6:30 p.m., usually, and tonight at 75 Varick Street on the 14th floor. You are urged to attend. Tonight, I want to tell everybody, just got a call from Ray LaForest from the Pacifica National Board, Interim National Board, that the lab part of that meeting, it was going to be a combo platter there of the lab and the bylaws committee, the lab meeting is going to be postponed to Saturday, same location, 75 Varick Street, near Canal, 14th floor, Saturday the 7th, from 2 to 6. So that will be the lab portion. But those of you who are committed to the bylaws workings, come tonight, Tuesday. I'm sure, plenty of stuff to do. So then, let us see. I'm going to ask you if you will pass me these headphones, please. Thank you. See if they're operative, and we will see if our guests are with us. Rob, and also let me also say that in the last hour of this discussion, we'll be talking to all three of the drafters, and in the last hour, we will welcome calls from the listeners and bylaws aficionados at 212-209-2900. I thank Michael G. Haskins for helping to set this up, and I'm Janet Coleman, and behind the board, David Dozer. So. How about us having a little musical opening so we can actually begin this? Pacifica bylaws discussion. And I'm Jenna Coleman, and we have online Carol Spooner from KPFA, the draftor of possibly one of the most exotic drafts here from the KPFA bylaws committee, and Carol Spooner's sort of original construction. And
hi, Jenna.
Hi, Carol.
It's been revised, so we're not going to talk about exotic version. We'll talk about the new one.
The revision. Okay, yeah. That's fine. But I want you also to talk a little bit about the impulses that went into the construction of the first bylaws.
Sure.
What you saved. Also, we have online Rob Robinson from KPFW, who has delivered a draft of his own of bylaws. Hello, Rob.
Hey, Janet. Actually, it's WPFW in Washington.
Oh, I gave you a West Coast letter, huh?
Yeah.
Don't
also,
know how.
Just for your information, I was one of the plaintiffs for the director's suit. I was the first director that sued the board for its violations of the bylaws in 2000.
Okay, let us tip our hats to both of you then. Dave,
I'm just trying to get it clear.
What did you do right? Dave Furtick here from KPFK, the Los Angeles station, and also author of a draft of bylaws.
That's right. I filed many lawsuits, but thank goodness for Rob and Carol and for Dave Adelson, who did the lab lawsuit, the local advisory board lawsuit, which is the first of all the lawsuits. And all three of those lawsuits brought us to where we are now, which we should, I think, be thankful, even though at times we wonder.
Right. Well, let us describe where we are now precisely, because as of Sunday, we are at some slightly different place than we thought we might be today, correct? Do you want to explain that, Carol, what the new dateline is?
Yes, the board met by conference call on Sunday, and we had received the night before a new draft from the KPFT and Houston subcommittee, which was put forward as a kind of a merger of some of the proposals put forward in the Furtick KPFK draft and in the KPFA committee's original draft, an attempt to kind of synthesize those two things. So that was put forward as kind of a consolidation. The board approved using that as a template for the organization of the sections in the bylaws. And the board also approved setting out five bylaws proposals in a grid side by side so that the board members can compare them and see what one proposal wants to do about the number of national directors and if that's different from the other ones. So the five proposals that will be included are the one offered by the WPFW committee, the one put forward by the KPFA committee, the one put forward by the KPFT committee, the one put forward by the KPFK committee, and the fifth one is one that was put forward by Dave Furtick. an IPMB member.
So, in other words, we have two drafts emanating from Los Angeles and none from New York.
That's correct.
WBAI.
That's
we have
correct.
No draft from BAI. An interesting point. Someone might like to explain it. But
well, if I could say, this is Dave, I dare say that many of the ideas that have been forwarded by people from all the signal areas and other locations have been looked upon by not just us national board members, but also the local bylaws committees. So I wouldn't say that any of this is done regionally or without input from all directions.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. And I think the KPFA committee was very cognizant of the discussions going on in New York, but New York did not draft a proposal.
But New York has a significant input into a certain section of the bylaws, and we'll talk about it when we come to it. Now, in constructing your grid, Carol, what will you do? Will you have every motion or every amendment, every numbered bylaw, and then five variants of each section? Is that how it will look?
Yeah, I stayed up until 3 o'clock last night laying it out in table form.
And,
Yeah, so you'll be able to see the five proposals side by side to compare them, see where they're the same and where they're different.
What the listeners group were particularly interested in were setting out what really were at the beginning of when the first drafts were put out, the differences in emphasis on national versus local power, to put it most simply. I mean, because the differences here are sort of, I guess, a federal-state model, the five sister stations and the Pacifica national governance. How these different models vary, and what is, you know, how extreme are they in difference? And I'll ask Carol that because I know that you had most to do with trying to localize the governance of the stations.
Yeah, the KPFA committee feels very, very strongly that we need to distribute governance, some governing authority to the local level. But we're actually, our view is that we need to integrate Pacifica better than it has been in the past, so that the local boards have some authority that comes from directors sitting on the local boards to help provide better governing oversight for the local stations, and that the national board and its committees are made up of local people who will be bringing the local perspective to the national perspective. So the idea is to integrate the committees of the national board with local people and to bring some of the power that has rested for about 20 years in the national board, maybe longer, but it's my understanding that the local boards did at one point have governing oversight over the stations.
They had representation on the national board at one point.
No, I'm talking about the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Through somewhere into the mid-80s, the local station boards did oversee the stations. We don't want to give all the power to the local boards. Mm-hmm. But we do feel that the local stations have suffered from bad governance because the national board is remote. The national board, 4 out of 5 members live in some other city, don't listen to the station, and don't know the community. So in order to come up with policy guidance at the local level, that intimacy of understanding of the station is missing. So the broad general policies of Pacifica need to be implemented and interpreted locally to a local board that's better able to do that. So that's sort of the theory here.
Now, I guess we should go to Rob Robinson, whose model seemed to be as far from your original model as one could be. It had the most centralization of government in the hands of the Pacifica National Board. Do you want to talk a little bit about what inspired you particularly to construct your draft that way?
Well, feedback.
Yeah, it was David Furtig's magnetic personality. Okay, can you speak now?
I will try to. I don't think it's about centralization. I think it's about trying to create bylaws that are going to work for Pacifica. Pacifica has three fundamental areas of operation. We have a foundation whose job, I would assume, is to generate resources and allocate them. And we don't do that. We have a national media network which currently produces only a single program. And we have a collective of five stations, independent stations, or semi-autonomous stations, I would say. And we have not added to that collective of stations in over 25 years. The governing board's job is basically to provide conditions that support the development of that organization, the Pacifica Foundation. And so what we're trying to do is create a structure, a general structure in which the governing board can govern those things and get back to basics. We think that what's happened to Pacifica, you know, over the last 20 or 30 years is that the boards have just been derelict in performing their functions, and that the programming and that the mission fulfillment is not occurring. So our concern is not to create a model in which the stations secede basically from the foundation, and in which we dismantle the foundation and national programming, but simply we're trying to create a model that will provide for a general structure of governance for Pacifica and rules by which it can do that. And the problem with Pacifica in the past has been it has not followed its bylaws. You know, the boards have not performed their fiduciary responsibilities. Mm-hmm. They've done other things.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not trying to create grandiose schemes. We're trying to breathe life back into the organization that we have, Janet.
Let me just see if I get this right, that among the sort of weaknesses you feel in the current national governing structure, or rather one of the strengths you'd like to leave, is the ability to add stations and the ability to do national programming. Is that one of the things that you feel is built in?
Absolutely, and to generate resources that support Pacifica as it is now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, does that make that clear to everyone? I think Dave Furtig, I'd like if you could sort of from some middle position describe what it was in your set of bylaws that tried to either check or balance either of those two models or aspirations to see the local stations prevail or have a voice versus the voice of the central government here.
Well, you know, my approach really was calculated to achieve a level of accountability. You could call it omnidirectional accountability. That is whereby the, you know, listeners elect local board members, the local board members elect from their ranks members to the national board. The national board then possesses the responsibilities under the FCC, managing the foundation, the licenses. It'd be great to develop new stations. Obviously, we need to be able to get back up on our feet before we can do that. It's essential that we develop national programming. We've got beautiful programming coming from all five stations that warrants development into national programming to really make it relevant to affiliates and to more people throughout the listening areas that we can reach. But I think the idea of accountability is key. And what I sought in my proposal to do was to create a dynamic whereby, you know, in that model, listeners can say, wait, we feel that the local advisory board members, whether they're the ones that are on the national board or just locally, are not doing their job. They can be recalled. The local board, if they feel that the person to whom they vested responsibility on the national board, if they feel that person's not doing the job, then they can jerk their chain too. And if the national board feels that somebody's not doing the job and messing around, they can also seek to have a person recalled, so to speak. And I think that way you've got the ability of the national board, which, by the way, then has subcommittees, and this is at one point where Carol's model, or I should say the B model and the C model are now converging.
We should say station names.
Well, in a way, yes. However, I must disclaimer, my model is not the KPFK bylaws committee version. That's a different version, which is still embracing the 75 to 90 member model and does not want any staff in any boards, or at least not specially named as such. I personally disagree with that. The local committee has developed and done a lot of work, and some of the proposals coming up through that committee have found their way into my and other proposals. But so the B and C model, I think, have a situation whereby the certain representatives from the local advisory board, which are elected then to the national board, then also become local station committees. Now, what I sought to do, too, is to create not a final, finely tuned instrument, which nobody's ever played before, but rather to give the tools to these people who will then be the first elected and accountable board members of Pacifica, really in the history of the foundation, to then say, okay, let's try this model. And let's develop a committee that does have governance abilities over the local stations. But I did not seek to define that governance power because I thought that the newly elected accountable members of these bodies would be in a better position to do so, because then if they screwed up, they get their chains jerked pretty quick by the listeners or the local boards.
Right. Why don't we say exactly what is so unique about this entire process and the involvement of the, you know, in the voting procedure and the input of the listeners. Carol, you want to speak to that?
Well, I'm not quite certain. Is your question what input have the listeners had thus far in developing?
Well, both what input have they had, but also what input will they retain due to the creation of these bylaws? How do they figure in the governance structure of Pacifica and
Pacifica is transforming itself from an organization governed by self-selecting, self-perpetuating bodies to an organization that has members. The members of Pacifica will elect the governing structure, whatever structure we end up with. And so what will happen is in both, I'll talk about the KPFA committee model. In the KPFA committee model, there will be two classes of members. Staff members, people who work at the station or volunteer their time there and do this marvelous work of producing radio and getting it all out there, they will be members with a vote. And the listener subscribers, the people who finance this organization and believe in it and contribute their money, will also have a vote. In the KPFA proposal, the local boards will be elected, 12 members elected by the listener members, and 6 members elected by the staff members. That will comprise of what is called a local station board. That local station board will elect 3 directors to the national board, one of whom will be a staff member and 2 of whom will be listener members. The national board will be organized pretty much the way it is now, with committees, governance, technology, whatever, finance, budget, to oversee the operations of the foundation as a whole and to make certain that things remain integrated. The National Board will also have 5 committees to govern and oversee the local stations. Those committees will be made up of the 3 directors from each station area and the rest of the members of the local board. So the local boards will be delegated to them some authority from the national board to interpret and implement national policy at the local level. However, the national board will retain the authority and power to, at any time it feels or deems necessary, override any resolution
of each individual local board.
Yeah.
Rob Robinson, in one of the most difficult definitions here is of listener member, who is a voting member of to the Pacifica government structure. How is your notion of a member different from Carol's or from the KPFA model?
Well, I think that we all believe, Janet, that listener members or listener sponsors are people who are financial, who have supported the station financially, mm-hmm. and or people who have provided volunteer support. But in terms of what you asked before about the process that we're going through with the bylaws, I would just like to point out the process that we initially established, an iterative process, is not the process that we have followed. And we're 5 months now into a process, And the notion was that we were going to, all of the subcommittees were going to come up with a draft of either bylaws in bylaw format or points that they supported in June, and then they were going to submit those to the other subcommittees for comment so that we could come up with a consensus model.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were going to send that out to the labs and other people. That didn't happen. What did happen? Well, what happened was we sent a bylaws model, and it wasn't my model. It was the WPFW bylaws subcommittee. We sent a model, forward to Ms. Spooner on the 13th of June, and subsequently at the end of July, she submitted another model that she had drafted. And at that point, we sent out on the internet two models, and then subsequently, people are now coming up with other drafts. So, the point was for us to create something that each of the signal area subcommittees would find a way to take their ideas and put them in some kind of format and circulate them to people, so that we could come up with a consensus model. That really is not what we followed, and that's one of my concerns, is that we're supposed to be following a process, and we didn't do it.
Can anybody, Dave Furtick, you want to talk to what altered this process?
Human nature. I think that the fact, Rob's right, and Rob has been, really one of the stalwart members of the National Board for years, in trying to get the National Board to stick to process. And, the work that he did in the prior regime trying to hold their feet to the fire was extraordinary. And I really respect the fact that, Rob is still playing that role, fulfilling that responsibility as a board member of trying to say, look, kids, we decided on a process, let's stick to it. The problem is that we're going in uncharted waters. And I think that, as frustrating as it is, we need to a degree roll with the punches, and I think that it's certainly frustrating for all of us because we're running into a lot of brick walls we never anticipated and a lot of problems, and we're learning a lot in the process, and a lot of things are being synthesized which have never existed before. So yeah, we're out of time, we're out of whack, we're out of process, but I think we're in a groove. I think we've, if we look at the development of the B and the C model, the A model as well, although I obviously, based on my proposal, one can see that Rob and I have a different perspective on what's ideal, but it's not a matter of achieving what's ideal. It's a matter of achieving what can work amongst the five signal areas, the local advisory boards, and the national board members. And that is why you're seeing the B and the C model become closer. But without getting into specifics, your question was, what is the nature of the process? Well, the nature of the process is developing a consensus. It's developing a model that's not only something that would work politically, but that would work functionally.
I think what happened was that we were overly optimistic about how much time it would take the local committees to reach some agreements about some points. And the committee met in May, and the New York and Los Angeles and the KPFA committee members were talking about how, and Houston members were talking about how their committees were not ready yet to put out a draft. So what we decided to do was to put out a set of bullet points that came out, I think, in May,
mm-hmm.
and asked the various committees to address the bullet points and see if they could reach a consensus on those issues.
Can you describe some of those bullet points? Because I think those will still be of interest to the listeners so that we know what the major points of contention or agreements have been over the course of the last several months.
Right. Well, we were trying to highlight the issues that were contentious in various areas, how much local or national authority we wanted to see, whether we wanted to have staff members on the board, whether or not we want diversity criteria and requirements on our boards, whether the national board should be directly elected by the listeners or the members, or whether it should be elected by a local board. Those kinds of issues were summarized in bullet points, and each of the committees was asked to address the bullet points. Some of them did, some of them didn't,
mm-hmm.
Because that's human nature. And as everybody knows who's concerned with Pacifica, kind of like herding cats. People want to do what they want to do, and they have very strong opinions about it. So I would say that the committees did the best they could with coming up with consensus. The Berkeley KPFA committee was really fairly unified because we've been electing our local board for 2 years and weren't afraid of it. We like it. And our lab was in on the process. And so we didn't have a lot of contention here. But in other stations, it was new, and it's frightening. It's very scary to go from to go into a model where listeners are electing people, and it's threatening to people.
So a lot of contention issued around the area of the local advisory board in almost in several of the stations. Is that true?
Well, you know, I wish you had someone from New York who could talk a little bit about it, because I think a great deal of contention in New York did center around the composition and manner of election of the local board. That seems, from my reading of it, to have been the most serious area of contention in New York, and it's, I'm not sure that it's resolved. I think that New York is seriously split on that issue.
And will some of that argument be brought to the national debate when it is debated at the national board meeting in September? Can anybody answer that, Dave?
Well, necessarily, those issues will have to be grappled with,
Yeah, Rob, were you wanting to say something?
Well, yeah, I did. There are a number of things that are confusing to people. Number one, governance is simply one aspect of Pacifica. People that want to have an impact on programming and their local station can volunteer. They can become producers. They can become researchers. They can work in a number of ways. People can contribute money. Governance is simply one aspect of what we do. Right now, the relationship between, for example, the local advisory boards and stations is the local advisory boards are responsible for doing ascertainment, which is getting the station management to tell them about what their program goals are, what their station services are, and what significant policy decisions they've made. And then the labs are supposed to go back and conduct community needs assessment and take that back to station management to say, okay, you say you're trying to do this with the station. We talk to the community, and they say that these are the things that they need. Pacifica's boards, for as long as we've been in effect, have never told station management that they should cooperate within that process. We have never allowed the labs to conduct the ascertainment and the community needs assessments properly. And the point of the labs is that their position right now, their role and function in governance, is to open a dialogue between the listeners, you know, and station management and programmers. We've never let them do that.
Mm-hmm.
My concern is that is a role and a relationship which is critical to Pacifica, and until we allow those relationships to work, we can't go out into the bylaws and change the relationships and say, okay, you're not going to do that now. Now you're going to start managing the stations. Furthermore, you know, the relationship of the board, the governing board itself, that has responsibility for overall governance for the network and for all five stations, we have never written down what our fiduciary responsibilities are and how we're going to perform them. And that's why for 10, 15, 20, 30 years now, we have let Pacifica's organization erode. So my concern is that until we begin creating relationships in the organization that work, that support our mission and support the programming, that simply changing governance models or saying we should spend more time on governance is not going to help the problem that we have right now. My sense is that it's mission and programming that should drive governance, not the other way around. So what we have a responsibility to do on the board is make sure that the station managers and management are working with the labs to open this dialogue with the listeners and bring the community needs back, you know, into the station in the process of discussing the programming. And similarly, we on the board need to be doing a better job of exercising our fiduciary responsibilities. That's why one of the key parts of our proposal was And we didn't finish our proposal. We just began draft one on June 13th, was that we have to have guidelines and operating procedures for the governing board as well as for the local advisory boards that talk about what their mission is within the organization and what are the processes by which they will affect that. We haven't done these things. And until Pacifica begins focusing on making relationships work that support the mission and the programming, my sense is that that we're lost.
Let me just say that this is WBAI New York, and we are having the weekly Pacifica bylaws discussion. This is a two-hour session with Dave Furtig of KPFK, the Los Angeles Pacifica station, Carol Spooner, who is representing KPFA and also is secretary of the Interim Pacifica National Board, and Rob Robinson, who is another board member from WPFW, the Washington station. And each one of these has contributed or has been inspirational in developing a draft of bylaws, which now has come before the National Board for consensus or for some redrafting so that one set of bylaws can be put forward to the listeners and to the supporters of the station. And we'll be taking your calls at 4 o'clock at 212-209-2900. Can I ask, Carol, in terms of the fiduciary responsibilities here, I don't see so much that's laid out in the bylaws concerning the responsibilities here, the monies of the Pacifica Network, which was such a issue of such a problematic issue in this period of overturn and revolution.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, in draft B, it's in there. Mm-hmm. The board is required to set up a budget committee. It's required to file annual reports and certain kinds of statements and certify their accuracy. Bylaws don't detail. They don't. It's what, as Rob mentioned, we need operating procedures and guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
Those procedures and guidelines do need to be developed, and it's sorely lacking. But the bylaws tell you who has the authority and who's accountable for it. But ultimately, the fiduciary responsibility for the Pacifica Foundation rests with the Board of Directors. The Board of Directors is charged with ensuring the Pacifica fulfills its purposes, uses its assets wisely and preserves them, and carries out the mission of Pacifica and is run well. And I think that Rob is very, very right that we have been lost. The network itself has not been communicating amongst the members and or the various stakeholders at the local and national level, and the various stations have been disconnected from each other and not talking to each other.
Well,
and Rob has a wonderful paragraph in the initial bylaws he put out about developing collaborative relations. And so I think both Dave and I kind of took off on that a little bit and said, well, in order to collaborate, you need to get everybody required to collaborate. Mm-hmm. So bring the staff members onto the boards. Get the local and national committees integrated so that at every level of Pacifica, those who are involved and who need guidance can help develop what will work for us going forward.
Let me just ask: Does any of the models eliminate staff from participation in the government? And Dave, maybe you can answer that as well as ask your own question there.
Well, I'll just note that one does appear to rather vehemently exclude staff. Not to say that the staff are excluded from participation, but where, as in the model that I think A, B, and I think A also has this, where staff actually elect seats,
mm-hmm.
as in
their own seats,
as in my model and the one proposed out of KPFA land, we have staff actually have reserved seats for which staff has specific and express representation. The KPFK bylaws subcommittee, the people that currently comprise that number between 20 and 35 people thereabouts, came to a conclusion that they wanted no staff representation expressly. Now, they say that staff can become members and sponsors and thus have their involvement, but that there be no specific representation.
Is there a reason for that?
I'm not sure what the reasoning is for that. But I do want to, frankly, I've attended, I think, of the last 18 or so meetings, I've attended 16 of them. I've had to miss a couple because of various personal obligations. I really can't say why, the reasoning behind it. I'm sure someone else could speak to that. But I want to say one of the reasons that, you know, this model, I think that, and Carol's, or I should say the KPFA model, the B and the C model differ in that they have a local station board elected, whereas the model I propose has a local advisory board. But what they all rely upon is, frankly, making sure that people have to work together at all stages and between all entities and creating that linkage, that inexorable sort of linkage that requires people to work together, I think is real fundamental to the principles of Pacifica.
In terms of interpreting the mission, Rob was talking about the difficulty of bringing to the table issues of the mission and issues of programming, and that really is our most pressing concern as a foundation or as a network, a radio network. How wide a swath is there in the interpretation of the mission? Carol, I'll ask you that.
The mission is a big tent, and I think it, depending on who you're talking to, people take different parts of it and emphasize it. Pacifica has always had a cultural mission, to serve the cultural needs of the community, and through arts and literature and poetry and cross-cultural and multicultural presentations. Pacifica has always had a political mission. It was founded by pacifists and war resistors with the objective of understanding the causes of conflicts between people of all races, creeds, nations, and colors, and particularly the Articles of Incorporation emphasized the political and economic causes of such conflicts. In addition, Pacifica's mission is to bring news and information to the community that is not commonly available elsewhere. In other words, to be an alternative to the mainstream. So those three things have always converged or diverged, depending on the times, what the political climate in the country was, who the station manager was, you know. And so it's kind of a dynamic dance of interweaving, moving in one direction for a while and another. But I think that's part of what makes Pacifica great, when it's really great, is that dynamic and lively dance of those components of our mission. You know, we're here to teach peace and to learn how to build coalitions to bring that about and bring justice to our communities of oppressed people around the country and sway public opinion about that.
And as for programming, one of the newer notions that has come forward here from the listener groups and activists is an idea of a elected program council, rather some sort of input also from the listeners or the audience into programming. Do any of these models address that, the program council in particular? Dave?
Yeah, well, the C model specifically says that there may be, well, it specifically says that the development of programming councils is left to each signal area to experiment with on its own. Obviously, then you have accountability because those people making those decisions from the station committee have to be held accountable for what they do. But I think that we need to allow each region to develop its own model and experiment with it.
Anybody got anything else to say, Rob, on that one?
Well, no. I mean, I think the problem with programming has been with Pacifica for a long time is we have not allowed the labs to perform their ascertainment and community needs assessment functions.
Mm-hmm.
They have not been allowed to open that dialogue to the stations. In commercial stations, people do, you know, they do opinion research.
Mm-hmm.
They do behavioral studies on what their listeners are into and so on and so forth. What we're talking about in Pacifica, because we're community-based, is opening a dialogue with the listeners. We've never allowed them to do that. My concern is that until we ask the labs and allow them to perform that function, we're really not going to be, you know, communicating with our listener sponsors the way we claim that we should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to see that process lost, because I think that's critical, and we've never allowed it to happen. That's my concern about Pacifica, up, down, front, and back, is that the basics that we have on governance, we have not followed. We have not allowed the people in the governance continuum to do their jobs. We have not held the board, you know, responsible for, you know, we have not held them accountable for what they're doing. And we have continuously neglected the foundation functions, the national network functions, and the station functions.
It sounds like everything.
Yes, it is everything.
It is mess.
Yes, it is everything. And, you know, and now we're mired in conflict at every level of the organization. And the reality is that the conflict has not subsided since the legal settlement in December. It's gotten worse.
Mm-hmm. And what are the hot-button issues here? Where do you see, what are the origins of conflict? What are the issues that are so unresolvable? Can anybody identify them and see how they might be cured, in a sense? I mean, you've all agreed to find some consensus here, actually, by Friday, correct?
No.
No? In these different five drafts, aren't you supposed to come up with some sort of a...
No.
At least you've agreed to look at the five models. There's something you agreed to on Sunday.
I'll tell you what I think the issues are, Janet. I think the issues are lack of vision.
Yeah.
Lack of leadership.
And a lack of trust.
And the fact that we have ignored making the roles and relationships work. As long as you've got roles and relationships and you don't make them work, you're going to have conflict.
Now, which roles and relationships are we talking about here?
The labs, the governing board.
Mm-hmm. So what do you see as the very, very intensely pressured areas of conflict, Carol? And what are the hopes for resolving these?
Well, I think there are several levels of conflict. One, I believe the organization has been so dysfunctional for so long that the expectation that we would know how to fix it overnight was certainly unrealistic, if any of us ever thought so.
Mm-hmm.
I think that all five stations suffered from a toxic environment, and that there are many, many, many conflicts inside each station among the staff members there,
mm-hmm,
that are very problematic and need good oversight and help in resolving those problems. I think that the labs, the local boards, and the station management have been locking horns for years, and have for many years been virtually at war with one another. And that's a pattern that is difficult to change. For instance, the KPFA lab has been elected for 2 years in a row. We've got very, very interested people who've done an incredible amount of work conducting community town hall meetings and ascertainment meetings and sending out questionnaires and compiling all of that data and filing a 49-page report, which I seriously doubt anyone has read, because the value of that, nobody knows what to do with it. So the local boards and the station managers are often at odds with each other and very frustrated with each other and hostile towards, mm-hmm, each other. And so the local boards then become very agitated and perhaps not even constructive in their approach to management.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have listeners. Listeners, as I hope everyone knows, thousands of them, over 10,000 of them, came out in the streets of Berkeley in 99 to defend KPFA. Hundreds and thousands of people came to the assistance of WBAI,
right,
after the Christmas coup. And those people are deeply concerned about the station. Each one of them is for different reasons, and they want a voice, and they feel locked out. They feel like the local boards aren't even listening to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then staff feels very frightened of all these listeners out there who appear, at least to them, to be a rabble, who want to come in and take over the station and do the programming or something. I think there are a lot of misconceptions here I think really everyone wants the same thing, which is, well, that's pretty broad generalization.
Dare to say it. Go ahead.
We want good programming. We want programming that informs us, excites us, ignites the community, moves us, and entertains us, and fulfills Pacifica's mission. I think everybody wants that.
I think one of the real problems we run into is we're coming out of a combat mode. I mean, we really had to, for years, the centralization increasingly sort of increasingly isolated sense of the national board separating itself from local influence by pulling up the ladder and denying local advisory board the right to name members of the national board. You know, all of these things, which Rob battled for years from his seat on the board, really created a culture of embattlement and we versus them. There's a lot of implacably angry people. And I think the word implacable is a real problem because there are people that take a stand and say, you know, I've got to win this argument. And the fact is what we've got to win is the ability to engage in debate and discussion and argument in a manner that is not calculated to achieve victory, but to achieve synthesis. And I think that one of the problems that we're experiencing is the transition from the combat mode of win at all costs. There's a lot of language and conduct and so forth that was engaged in by some in the battle that, you know, for whatever, you know, however it was perceived then, the fact is now we need to figure out how to work together. The famous Thermidor effect, you know, is coming into place where, you know, the chaos is reaching, you know, really serious proportions. I think the tone and the manner in which we interact and disagree with one another, look, we're going to get angry, we're going to get pissed off, and we're going to be very unhappy with each other at times, and we'll disagree. But we've got to figure out how to do that and still work together, and that's the most difficult thing.
In terms of having some sort of favorite aspect that you have to, yielding to a consensus, is there something you've had to give up that you regret terribly, can you deal with letting it go? And Carol, I'll ask you that because you were the one who originated the 90-person board, and that is as fanciful as an idea and a very provocative democratic idea. And I wonder what it was that you had to give up that you are reluctant to part with, even though you may have to.
Well, I don't know yet because I really don't know where everybody's going to come down on things. So I don't know what... you know, I may have to give up something, but I may get something better.
Right.
I'm very open that way. I think, you know, the 90-person board was one that made all five local boards, members of the board of directors, that met once a year by video conference and elected officers, and then all the work of the board was distributed out between three national committees and five local committees that were integrated. That that proposal received a lot of praise and a lot of fear. I realized it wasn't going to go, so I started thinking about another way to do it that wouldn't be so fearful, cause so much fear. But I don't think I've given up anything yet.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're still in the creative synthesizing, listening to each other, hearing each other's concerns, and that's going to be ongoing. We'll adopt some bylaws. They'll probably have some flaws. We can revise them in a year or two, evaluate how well they're working, and just get moving.
Well, let me ask the same question of Rob. That is, what portions of his own model or his own vision for the Pacifica governance structure would you be most reluctant to give up?
Our draft was simply an early draft.
Mm-hmm.
My concern is I do not want to lop off the foundation functions. I do not want to lop off national programming. I do not want to see a 90-person board that effectively has no powers. I do not want to see local station governing boards that have all the power for the foundation. I do not want to give the local advisory boards all power over the national functions of Pacifica. My concern is that we have, as I said at the beginning of this discussion, We have been derelict in managing the foundation to create resources for Pacifica. We have been derelict in creating, in managing the national program and media functions of the network. And we have been derelict in creating, in managing the stations and adding to them. I do not want to take away from any of that. I want to build on that. So I do not support a model which basically says we want the stations to secede from the foundation. I don't want a Confederacy model.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
That's the process that we've been in for 30 years, and it's killing us.
Mm-hmm.
We need to have a unified foundation. We need to focus on the strength of its unity. I think we need to focus on preserving that, and that's why I'm very, very strongly in support of having a national board that has subcommittees which effectively bring governance of the local stations back to the neighborhood of the local stations, but is still integral to the national board so that we don't have a dissemination and a dissipation of focus on the national mission. And I think that it's a real delicate balancing act, and I would personally love to hear more feedback on how people feel about these various models. I frankly have not gotten as much feedback as I'd like.
Okay, well, we're about to get some feedback because in a couple of minutes we'll be taking your calls at 212-209-2900. This is the weekly Pacifica Bylaws show, I guess you'd call it. And we're here with Carol Spooner from KPFA. All three speakers today are members of the Interim Pacifica National Board. Carol Spooner from Berkeley, Rob Robinson from Washington, and Dave Furtick, who is here in the studio with us at WBAI from KPFK Los Angeles. And I want to remind you all that the lab meeting, there was to have been a duo meeting of the lab and the bylaws committee tonight at 75 Varick Street. That meeting will still adhere to the bylaws committee, but the lab section of that is going to take place on Saturday between 2 and 6 at 75 Varick Street, 14th floor. That's the address for both meetings. The one tonight is to continue at 6:30. The other one, 2 to 6 p.m. on Saturday, the 7th of September. Also, if you want to research some of these drafts and some of the history of the bylaws presentations, you can find drafts of almost all of everything, really, at pacifica.org.
No, Janet.
Yeah?
That's not accurate.
Not quite accurate?
No, the website has not been updated.
Ah.
I'm sorry, it is really out of date. If people want to see all of the drafts that are under consideration, they need to join an email group where it's all posted. It's Pacifica National Bylaws -subscribe at yahoogroups.com. You can then get into that group and look at the files where all of the current proposals are posted. The Pacifica webmaster is behind. He hasn't got it all up yet.
Well, let me say also that we have a listener mole in the studio, Roger Manning, who keeps up the WBAI.net website, and
oh, right.
I think that is pretty much up to speed, right?
Yeah.
And I think it even contains the new KPFT amended model, which with all its which is tricky as can be.
That's right. I'm glad you thought of that.
Yeah. So let us, why don't we take some calls, and we're here at WBAI New York. I'm Janet Coleman. Once again, you can talk to either Dave Furtick of KPFK, Carol Spooner, KPFA, or Rob Robinson, or address the whole group, or just put your two cents in. So WBAI, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is James from Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
Very informative discussion. I'm having some problems with the assumption that structurally we're even dealing with a democratic model, because for all the vaunting that has been said about how the listeners regain the station, we still in the Pacifica bylaws have no permanent structure, an ongoing structure for listener participation. Now, here at WBAI back in June, a couple of us got our heads together and authored an amendment which, as far as we're concerned, was must have been put in file 13, respecting the establishment under the bylaws of a listeners' assembly and or caucus, whose major purpose would be to channel these ideas and policy determinations in such a way as to present them to the board, circumscribed within the powers set forth by the mission, as well as by the Articles of Incorporation.
Can you make that a little simpler in describing what this committee would be?
In other words, the emphasis by these committees has been on procedural democracy, but it has not been on structural democracy. There is no permanent way for listeners to be involved in WBAI except to give money and or make